Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K. Melissa's with us, and we are joined at the beginning of every Thursday by our great friends from the Southfield County Humane Society. Tim joins us usually. And Tim, good to see you.
Thank you. Welcome. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Sorry. I thought I was unmuted, but I was muted.
That's all right. Appreciate you here, Melissa. And our team here has their headphones on so they can hear you. And I mentioned that because we have a new friend joining us today.
All right. Yeah.
Tim, you want to go and introduce our new friend?
Yes. We have the pleasure of introducing our new Director of Operations, Sarah Hansen.
Yeah. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Sarah. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much. I want to make sure to get to everything that you guys have for us today. But Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. And sometime you and I will have to catch up. We'll let get a little bit more on you and your origin story, because that's what we like to do around here. I like to put people on the spot. I mean, ask questions. Just ask questions just so they have some fun and everything.
Sure.
But I am curious, how is it going in the new position?
Good. Very good. Adding on and things are growing.
Real good to hear. Real good to hear. And really appreciate the work that you and the team over there does. This is one of our favorite segments every week, and some of our favorite people of the Southfield County Humane Society. I've had a relationship with the gang over there for decades, really, I'll say. So we're really proud of that, and we're really proud of the work you guys do over there. Tim, how are things going over there?
Well, we're doing okay. As I mentioned last week with the hoarding case, we had one unfortunate part that one of the dogs had to be euthanized, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It was just, I guess, too sick, right, Sarah? I just couldn't.
The organs were failing on the animal, along with whatever underlying malnutrition, other types of things that animal had going on.
So sometimes it's not always the most pleasant news, but you can't hide things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We like to let the public know what is going on in the community and try to avoid situations like this. So as I said last week, if this one, you could actually smell the house as you walk by. So if anyone out there has something, we don't need the extra work, but it's for the animals.
Right.
Okay.
And it's I'm not speaking on certainly mental health issues or anything, but when it comes to people hoarding animals, this is part of the reason why we just cannot do this. The Humane Society has what, 100 some animals over there? You know, just
absolutely
off the top of our heads, I think it's fair to say
probably at least 150.
Got a good team over there. Got a good multiple people, probably over 10 to 15 some odd workers over there and everything. And you guys can't. There's too much on your plates.
Yes.
One person, two people, having that many animals in one house. It there's no science that can work. And certainly not to the benefit of the animals, which is what this is all about. When you see these things, when you hear about these things, I encourage you to reach out to our police departments, our humane societies, and do something with us. Because this is about the animals, and that's what we're doing here about this. And not only this segment, but a big part of what we do here as a radio station. So I appreciate you sharing that, Tim, because it's hard news, but the more we hear these things, hopefully the more we're preventing these things from happening.
That's our goal, and that is our mission. So, we're going to have Sarah's going to do something with the pet, but unfortunately, I guess our website is down, so we can't.
Did want to note that to people and make sure that they are aware of that. That'll be up and running as soon as it can be, everybody. But you can reach out to the Humane Society and find out more through their Facebook page. That's a great way to be able to
do
that.
Absolutely, because we have so many events coming up for the community to take a chance and get to know each and every one of us out there. We have a ton of volunteers. I couldn't say thank you enough. We literally have at least 100 that take part in every portion of what we do.
That's awesome. And we do have a pet of the week this week? Do I get to pick?
Do you want to pick?
No, you go ahead.
We have Pandora. She's been there for a while. She's a beautiful cat. She's long-haired. She loves a little brush. That is her favorite toy. And then we have Bear, who is a 2-year-old. He's 95 pounds, and he's a cross between a doodle and, I would say, a Dane.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, that has got to be a beautiful dog. Oh, that's got to be an interesting looking
dog.
He is.
He's big.
Yeah, I bet.
Not a small dog.
No.
He does not know his size.
No.
God, I love
that thinks he's a lap dog, huh?
Well, he likes to dance around when the leash comes on.
Oh, that tells you a lot right there. That tells you a lot. And God, I love dogs like that. It's one of the funnest things about dogs to me is the big dogs that think they're little and little dogs that think they're big. I don't know why, but it gets me every time. It gets me every time.
So you could tell James has been around shelters and animals.
Yeah, yeah. Did we have two pets of the week today? Or
I did.
Was
I did. Pandora. Cool. She was the cat, long hair, and then Bear is the dog.
Yeah, yeah. And Bear again sounds like an awesome animal. Both of them sound amazing. And we want to remind everybody not only of these animals but other animals over there. And with that, it is always kitten season. There's always needs on there. Are there things that you guys could use more than others as far as cat food or supplies or anything?
We really could continue to for the dog food and the cat food along with litter, but it needs to be scoopable litter, and the continued blankets as needed because they tend to wear out as time goes by.
Yeah, and those blankets mean a lot. Like, the animals really have, like, especially, I mean, it's not that different than when we're little and you have that blanket you carry around everywhere, Linus, you know, that kind of thing. animals are very similar with those.
Yes.
I know my little fur brother, Sam, he's got one that he just will, he has to know where that thing is. Even if he doesn't mess with it, he just has to see where it is.
Both my dogs are the same.
If you move it and he's not in the room, he'll come into the room. Like, what are you doing over there? What are you doing?
Right, why are you moving my things?
Why would
don't
you do that?
Don't touch my stuff.
Yes. I know that you guys have some events coming up as well. Did you want to touch on those or maybe now or the next time you join us?
Well, we have the 5K walk coming up at the end of September. Please, everybody, get out there and either donate or come and walk with us around the lake. We are looking forward to that. We have so many amazing sponsors throughout the community that we greatly appreciate. Thank you. Big shout out to everyone who has taken part in putting this together for us.
It's going to be fun. We're going to be hyping it up, talking about it. Make sure you get a good crowd. That is, again, that 5K9 is coming up on September 28th. I do encourage you to check out their Facebook page as well, everybody, because if you are not able to make it to that, you can still make a donation. And by donation, I mean investment. I talk about this a lot with our nonprofits in this area, and this community is so awesome when it comes to these things. This is an investment in our community. This is an investment in not only the animals, but the people that work there, your neighbors, your friends. This is a way of helping them as well. So I encourage you to invest in our Southwood County Humane Society by donating to this great cause and other ones that you guys have coming up.
Absolutely. And you can always meet me down at the Grand Affair that's coming up. I will be there along with a few others, probably volunteers, and we'll probably have a pet out there as well.
Nice.
As usual, to meet and greet along with us.
Very cool. Anything else you guys wanted to touch on before we let you go?
I look forward to our continued conversations.
Yeah, I cannot wait, sir. It's going to be cool. I do want to thank you, Tim, for everything over the last couple of months. It's been really fun working with you, man.
You too. So, yeah, Sarah's going to take over. So you're good. I'll miss it too, but.
Yeah, well, you have to stop by sometimes and everything.
Yeah, I can always come in
and everything. Yeah.
I did want to mention something. We started a new part of our fundraising platform for people that are computer savvy. And so if you've heard of One Cause, it's O-N-E-C-A-U-S-E. That is how we are accepting donations for things. It's a national chain, and it's very, very helpful. And we just started that with the 5K9 run.
Yes.
And there's going to be multiple opportunities on there. And I was actually shocked when I was on my home computer looking. National chain Chewy features us. So, when you pull up MSN, homepage, there is Chewy with promoting us with our needs.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I don't know how that happened, but
it
did.
They donate to us on a weekly basis. They send lots of either treats, food, etc. for us. So it's amazing.
It's a very cool thing. And a good organization. They've done things like that a lot over the years, I've heard and seen at shelters I've worked at and some stuff. So that's really cool. That is very cool to hear. OneCause.com is the site Tim is talking about there, OneCause.com. And, of course, the Southwick County Humane Society, you can go ahead and find out more going to their Facebook page. It's a great way to message them as well. whether it's donating or investing and finding out more information about that, or some of these awesome animals that they have over there that are just looking for that perfect home, waiting on that, and reach out to them as soon as you can, everybody. Thank you so much for the time, you guys. And Sarah, great to meet you. Looking forward to this.
Thank you, Tim.
To thank you again. I appreciate everything you do, sir. Thank you.
I had a ball with you. You're
good.
This show makes it. Well, I know James is the key, but Seth and Melissa are just, all of this team here is great.
I may be the key. They are the engine and the vehicle. They are everything else about that. Appreciate y'all, okay? Thank you so much for joining us.
We'll talk
again real soon, guys.
Okay.
We'll have more Pets of the Week coming up every Thursday in this time slot for you, everybody. Looking forward to more and more of that. We'll come back and we'll get into some entertainment news here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Shout out to our great friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society. A big thank you to them.
Yeah.
We appreciate them so much. That was a lot of fun, actually. That was a really fun.
That was great.
Welcome to Sarah. Glad to have her on board.
Yes.
Yeah, big time. Did want to remind everybody, their website is not up and running right now, so if you do need to reach out to them, do it through their Facebook page. You can go to Facebook, type into your search bar, Southwood County Humane Society, like that page and keep up to date on everything they are doing, and share the work that they have over there, because you just never know who might see it. It wouldn't otherwise.
Exactly.
I do want to say, as long as we're talking Facebook and everything, appreciate all of our local nonprofits and businesses out there keeping us up to date on things, and that includes also when Melissa does. Because I did not see this until Melissa sent it over, but let's go ahead as we're getting into entertainment news, and one of our favorite entertainment things that we have around here is Lunch by the River.
Yes, that's right. It's supposed to happen today, but they've canceled it because of the weather.
Mm-hmm. Darn weather.
Yeah.
They are moving their sponsors over. Food vendors may still use the space if you choose to do so. So there might be a couple of down there if you get a chance. And, you head on over there. Yep. There are or there aren't.
Passing by.
You still get to go to Veterans Park. It's still one of the beautiful parks. They are attempting to move their performers as well for today for the entertainment. But I do want to send a shout out to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple more left at Lunch by the Rivers. But it's already been a successful season over there.
And they'll
update on their Facebook page, on the Heart of Wisconsin Facebook page, where they move the entertainment. So you'll be able to find that on the Heart of Wisconsin Facebook page.
All right.
Find out more there. We'll make sure to mention that again before we wrap up. Diving into entertainment news, a man named Jeffrey Piccolo is suing Disney after his wife died from a meal she ate at Disney World last year.
Oh, dear.
She had severe nut and dairy allergies, and the staff at an Irish pub in Disney Springs said her order was safe, but it was not.
Oh, no.
He recently filed a lawsuit, but now Disney is trying to claim he can't sue them. Because he signed up for Disney Plus trial membership in 2019.
What?
The fine print when you sign up says any disputes with Disney must be resolved in arbitration, not in court. So they're trying to say anyone with a Disney Plus profile or a subscription, can't sue them for anything.
Oh, no.
You can be shot by Mickey and you can't sue them.
Wow.
Jeffrey also brought tickets to Epcot through their website, and they claimed the terms and conditions there would nullify the lawsuit, too. His lawyers are calling it absurd. They say even those arguments were universally binding.
Which they're not.
They wouldn't extend to his wife since he's the one who paid.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not clear how much he's suing for. We just know it's an excess of 50,000+ and probably a lot more than that. Both sides will present their case at a hearing on October 2nd.
Okay.
And this may seem like a lot of legal mumbo jumbo to some people out there. Let me tell you, coming from a law family, keep your eye on this one. Keep your eye on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because how this goes, when we were kids, how many people still talk about and remember the person suing a McDonald's about the hot coffee falling on them? And now every coffee you buy, most of them, at least, have on there, this coffee may be hot.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
They do. It says caution on all the lists.
They still do that. Okay.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
I haven't been able to buy myself a coffee in a long time.
But they do have a little warning on there. That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So interesting. So these kind of things matter. These kind of, for every silly case that gets thrown out or settled in arbitration, there are cases like this to go all the way to the top and change the game. And Disney is trying to change the game.
Okay, and this is a reminder, too. How many of us signed the small print without reading it?
I did.
Yeah, everything.
I'll admit it, I did.
Everything comes with you got to sign an agreement. Everything you sign up for online, everything you, practically everything you buy nowadays that is, you know, something, a subscription, a gym membership, you know, whatever it is, you have to sign the small print. None of us read it because most of us don't understand it.
I've been trying to think of something, a little look behind the curtain here. I wanted to do something with my three kids. They're older now. My youngest is going to have, my oldest is going to have a baby, you know, all this and everything. So there's going to be less and less opportunities probably for the three of us as adults to do things together. And I was trying to think of something that would really get them to want to do, and we'd have fun together. And like, oh, we never got to go on a road trip. Like, let's do that. And I've never been to Disney World, so I've been thinking about that. I've been looking into it. I've even gone as far as looking at prices and things. I read this and immediately like, nope, nope. I don't want anything to do with that place. Now, I am speaking for myself alone here, not anybody else, and certainly not Civic. We'll take your advertising dollars, Disney.
No free commercials.
Yeah. But this kind of thing, I can't imagine if you are a Disney Plus member, which I am, how you'd feel about this, because I know how I feel about it. And again, I am not the kind of person that gets bent out of shape about things. You know, when you hear me jump on a soapbox, it's for a reason. And this startled me that the idea that this could be a thing. Now we'll see how this plays out. This is probably going to be a long court case and it may even go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. A couple things real quick. Melissa, what you were talking about, those long legal documents that you have to agree to, like to sign up for a service or something like that. Those are, I can't remember what the word is for it. It is a thing, but that is done deliberately. It is done so your eyes would glaze over before you could read the entire thing. That is done very specifically so you don't read it. Yeah. And almost every single one of those has what they're talking about here, an arbitration thing. You waive all of your rights to a trial in order to go before an arbitrator, because in most cases, arbitrators usually side with the defendant on those, which are corporations usually that do that. Now, the legality of those is in question right now. Whether or not you can actually give away your right to do that, you may not even be able to do that. So that's coming up too. There has been cases too of people bombing corporations with like lawyers gathering like thousands of people who have an issue and like bombing arbitrations on a corporation, meaning that every single one of these now the company has to vet, which means it's costing them lots of money to do these sorts of things. So there are ways around this kind of thing. But this is a legal thing, like James was talking about. This is something that we're going to be hearing a lot more about coming up, I think, because it's foolish. It's foolish. You think you just say, oh, just by signing up for my cables, you know, for this online streaming subscription, I'm going to give away all my legal rights.
Yeah,
just so I can watch, you know, the show.
I'm
right?
looking over my back waiting for Goofy to show up or something like that, man. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about
with
this.
With a gat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that another part of this, too, that is so self-inflicted, they could have taken care of this and it had been a sub-story. They could have taken care of this in arbitration like or offered
a settlement.
Right. And
they could have done that.
This even happens. Instead, they're nickel and diming. One of the richest companies in the world is nickel and diming a man who is a widow. A man who.
Widower, yeah.
A widower, yeah. Like, you're a family. You're supposed to be a family company. You're supposed to be better than other companies when it comes to
this. It's not a good look. It really isn't.
A company that is so smart with their PR, is so good at what they do, and it's not easy for me to say that because of Walt Disney and my feelings about him. But I will wholeheartedly admit, not many people are better at marketing, better at PR, better at working with communities, especially if you hear a lot of people in the Florida area talk about some of the things that they do there. They do some good stuff. This almost erases a lot of a majority of that to me, where you're doing this, because this is the one we heard about. You're telling me this is the only time something like this has ever happened in
probably
the history of
not.
Disney. So this is the one we hear, and I don't know how you can get around this outside of, hey, our bad, we messed up, let's go ahead and figure this out, sir.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Keep your eye on that one, everybody.
I think this also kind of is a good segue into mentioning the fact that on Monday, the White House is working to protect consumers from what are known as junk fees or not being able to cancel a membership or a subscription. These companies that purposely, in their small print, make it, they're designed to make it difficult to get out of a membership or to get a refund or a rebate. They do it on purpose.
Yep.
And the Biden administration is working to end that. They actually have, I couldn't find it in this 30 seconds I was looking, but there is a public portal, I'm guessing it's probably on the White House website, to make suggestions.
Public comment, yeah.
Yep, okay. make public comment on how to make it easier to navigate ending subscriptions or activating insurance coverage.
Some good work being done right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see some people thinking of consumers when the businesses should be.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a business without us.
Exactly.
Right.
And I've seen some...
And that should be the job of our government, which the Biden administration is doing.
That's right.
I will say, I've read a bit about that, what you're talking about there, Melissa. And one of the only pushbacks I've heard is that, well, we've got to survive. If you can't survive as a business... Man, this is capitalism. We're adults. Like, if you can't survive as a business, you need to move on and find something else to do. Like, I'm so tired of this idea that we have to hold people's hands as adults. Like, you got a job to do. You do that job. If you can't, move on and find something you can do. If you can't pay your employees a good wage, I can't. I'm in this business, and I can't pay my employees better than minimum wage. Then find a new job. Find a new business. That's the world. A new business will take over there. Now, if we don't want to agree on a capitalism, if we don't want to do that, okay, let's talk. We'll figure something else out.
Sure.
But this is the society we have. You got a job to do, do the job. That's it. Like, if you can't, find something else to do.
If your business is just making fees for people, that's not a business that's at all. I don't even know what that is. Mm.
Maybe getting the real estate.
Sounds like something like a mobster or a gangster would do.
I know a lot about this world, and I'm telling you, that's where this is coming from when you hear
like
my
all
energy
these,
on this.
Yeah, they I guess they've learned everything they did from mob movies and The Sopranos, I guess. I don't know.
I knew plenty of people growing up that didn't want to work for a living and made money, okay? they were all from that side of the tracks. And maybe real estate is more your thing. The house from 1982 horror classic Poltergeist is for sale for the first time in 45 years.
Wow.
And the owners want to assure potential buyers there are no evil spirits. Craig T. Nelson got rid of them all.
He's the man.
Didn't you see? He threw the TV out at the end. It's one of my favorite scenes ever. I love that scene for some reason. I don't really like that movie. It didn't freak me out as a kid. It just seemed kind of corny.
Yeah.
But God, I love that last scene. I do love that last scene.
Throw the TV.
The Zillow listing says, quote, "Yes, this is the house where much of the first movie of the series was filmed, but the house is clean. Seriously, it is." That's what they actually, I'm reading the actual Zillow reading. Well loved by its original owners, this charming 4-bedroom, 2.5-bathroom home is ready to welcome a new family without the ghostly antics, we promise. It's listed for 1.17 mil, and it's located in Simi Valley, California.
That's why.
It was built in 79. The listing adds that fans will love to see that the infamous kitchen is in its original form.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's pretty dated looking.
With updated appliances. Quote, "It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to live in a home with a story minus the spooks."
Very clear on this. No ghosts.
It does sound like the pool has been cleared. Okay. It does sound like the pool is clear. So I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I wouldn't pay obviously 1.7 even if I had that kind of money. If I had that kind of money, I'm buying a brand new home or something like that. But if they're giving it away, I don't care. Like, honestly,
That'd be cool.
The biggest thing to me was the 2.5 bathroom. Like that's what stood out to me. Poltergeist High School. I don't care. Like, does it have two bathrooms?
Okay. Yeah. This is the funny thing is that this is not like the Amityville house,
right?
Where supposedly all these things happen. This was just the set for a movie. about goat. There was nothing there in the history. It was a brand new house. They said it was built in 1979. They filmed that one in 82.
Yeah.
It was a brand new house when they did it. So, yeah.
And that there's also noteworthy, the whole, I'm trying not to spoil it for anybody out there, a movie from 1980, but.
Dude, that's like 40 years old.
I know. I just hate spoiling things.
It's 40 years old.
Okay. Earmuffs if you don't want to be spoiled on this. But it stems around basically what the house was built on.
Right.
That was a fictional
story.
That's
not a thing.
It's not a real thing. So even that part of it is not a part of this or anything. And
that's a trope now, by the way. I think you can give that away.
Yeah.
The Indian burial thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was a part of it. That obviously was not true. That in real life, that didn't happen. So, I mean.
I don't know, guys. Looking at the pictures, sure, it's a nice house. It's got a pool. It's got a cement backyard. There's no grass. It's got a car and a hat, a two-car garage. I don't know.
I can't see spending that kind of money on that house. Yeah.
It's the location that you're paying for.
Exactly. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
James, is there any grass in the L.A. area, in the general, San Fernando Valley?
There is a patch near Dodger Stadium. Okay. There is a patch.
And it's on the field, actually. It's the field. Yeah.
You can rent it. You can rent it.
Sorry, that's turf.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dang it.
Actually, no. Dodger Stadium has real grass. Okay.
Before we go to our second break of the hour, I do want to send a shout out and break a leg to our great friends at CWAC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they open tonight.
They do. Mm-hmm. That's great. Shakespeare.
It's opening
Mary
night.
Wives of Windsor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go check this out, everybody. It's going to be a fantastic show. Outdoors, even.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing like theater outdoors. It's a whole different animal.
So they need an opening for the rain to stop at this time.
It's going to. Isn't that what Brittany said?
I think she said it's going to break up this evening. So let's hope. Yeah. Let's hope.
Get your tickets.
Fingers crossed.
Buy local, support local, and support the arts. The Merry Wives of Windsor kicks off tonight at 6 o'clock. Be sure to join them for that. Otherwise, if you can't make it tonight, tomorrow they got a 6 o'clock show. Dinner at 5. So, then on Saturday, they have a 6 o'clock show. And on Sunday, a 2 o'clock matinee.
Cool.
Luau dinner and show. Luau dinner is with that for a show with the dinner tomorrow.
Ooh, do they actually have a pig? No, they probably don't. That'd
be
cool.
You did have to buy tickets for the dinner at on the 6th.
Oh, so. Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
I think you still go to the show, though.
You got them.
Yeah.
You can still get tickets for the show.
Yeah.
But.
An amazing cast, a flawless cast, wonderful people, and an awesome way for you to support the arts and for you to keep CWAC around.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we keep local theaters around, everybody, by taking in shows. That's it. That's what you got to do. Spread the word about this show. Get yourself tickets and meet our friends over at CWAC tonight for this great show. Break a leg, you guys. Have a great one. CWAC.org, CWAC.org. We'll take...
I was going to say, or should we say, break thy leg.
We'll be back with more show on the morning show at WFHR Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. We got a couple of topics to get to before we wrap up today. We have to cover them before we wrap up.
All right.
Taco Bell is testing this nostalgic menu with one item from each decade. Let's get into this one, everybody. Now, journalistically, I think that we should mention that Melissa does have a bit of a long ongoing battle with Taco Bell.
Yes.
Journalistically.
One-way battle.
Yes.
It's a one-way battle. I've never actually spoken to Taco Bell, executives about my disgust with them removing the seven-layer burrito from their menu, which is really the only thing worth ordering if you go to Taco Bell, in my opinion. Except maybe a chalupa at 2 in the morning.
Maybe you'll find something here. Taco Bell announced they're bringing back one popular menu item from each decade, the 60s through the early aughts. But they don't get too excited because it's not happening everywhere yet. They're testing it at 3 locations in Southern California for now and, quote-unquote, looking into doing it nationwide later this year. Everything on the list will cost $3 or less, and most of these haven't been on there in a long time.
Mm.
But here are the 5 retro items they are bringing back from the 60s, the tostada.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Crispy tortilla topped with beans, red sauce, lettuce, and cheese.
Yes.
It was on the original. Sorry, go ahead.
I said that'd be good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. See?
It was on the original menu in 1962 and stayed there for half a century.
Wow. Taco Bell's, I didn't realize they'd been around that long. Anyway.
Me neither.
Sorry. 62,
actually a little closer to a traditional you know, like Mexican food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe a little too...
Yeah, too close. Yeah, it was a little too close.
Too authentic for you, Taco Bell.
Yeah. From the 70s, the green burrito.
Oh, the green burrito. What's that?
Green burrito.
Refried beans, onions, cheese, and a green tortilla sauce. It's the only one on the list that's been gone for a while. It looked like it was discontinued back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
From the
30 years.
Yeah. From the 80s, the Maxi Melt. Fans have been howling since they pulled it in 2019. It's a soft taco with beef, picadillo, and
picadillo, yeah.
Picadillo and a mix of three cheeses.
Hmm.
It might have been because of the name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's not a great name.
Honestly, I thought I was going to get canceled just for saying that. I really did. Yeah, I did not feel good about that.
Hey, no kink shaming.
Yes. From the 90s, the Beef Gordita Supreme.
Ooh.
Beef, cheese, lettuce, tomato, sour cream on a flatbread.
There you go.
That was discontinued back in 2019. That was the one.
I remember eating that one in the 90s. I always got the seven-layer burrito.
That one was the one the Chihuahua was always talking about.
Yeah. The Chalupa. Yeah, I remember that ad campaign.
My gorditas.
Yeah.
And from the early 2000s, the caramel apple empanada.
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 Empanada. Another one pulled in 2019. It's the only dessert item on the list.
So sort of from every decade. It's stuff they just discontinued 5 years ago. Yeah. It really, I mean, some of them are
not
from way back.
First one.
No, that's old school. That one was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, I will say one thing that I've only worked in one fast food establishment once, but my sister worked in a bunch of them. And one of the things that I didn't think much about is all the items you have to have back there to be able to make these things. So if some of these items that they're choosing the ones to bring back because they already have the items in the store, I could see that makes mm-hmm. sense. But it also feels like one of these things where every one of these, not just Taco Bell, but businesses like this to do things like this. I hear these stories, I read these, and then I look into a little bit behind the curtain and everything, mm-hmm. and they just make these decisions. Mm-hmm. They don't ask anybody what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really, like, isn't that the job? Like, isn't that, like, doesn't that seem like advertising 101? Like, what do the people want? Not what
it seems. That would make sense, right?
Feels like it.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely asking. Well, this isn't a rhetorical.
I have the secret, everyone, of getting the best food you want.
Melissa's reaction.
The best food you want at Taco Bell. Okay, you ready for this? Okay, you get in your car and you go to Taco John's.
Yes.
Because they're way better.
Yeah.
Taco John's is way better, I got to say.
I will send a big shout out.
No free ads.
Yes, but El Taco Social Food Truck as well.
Oh, man. If you could, make them your first choice. Yeah.
Yeah. But great one.
Not that I want to speak in defense of Taco Bell.
Your bitter enemy, yes.
But I think a lot of these decisions are made by, okay, what is being tossed out? What is not selling? What is making us the most money? They're looking at numbers.
I think you're right.
Is the almighty dollar. It doesn't matter what the customers want. It matters where they can cut costs to make more money.
You got it.
That's what it boils down to. They don't care that
they
have ruined Taco Bell for me by removing the seven-layer burrito. They don't care.
They don't care.
They just don't care.
They just don't care.
They could care less. Where here I am crushed in central Wisconsin. Not able to get a seven-layer burrito anywhere. I can't even go to a Taco Bell and order something on the menu and say, okay, now please remove this, this, and this, and add guacamole and rice and beans. Like, that's not even possible, guys. I've tried.
Oh, okay. You've tried it. That's interesting.
So my family and I have done a similar thing with Subway. They got rid of mozzarella, and that's our favorite cheese, and we can't believe it. So
that's
we're just not going there anymore.
Yeah.
But we love subs, and we don't really have a lot of sub places here in Rapids. So we got the idea, we're going to make our own. We're going to buy local. We're going to get some deli meat, and we're going to make our own. We got some nice bread and all this. Yeah, it didn't work out very well. It didn't go very well.
It's not that hard to make a hoagie.
I actually should say it worked out well for my parents. It did not work out well for me. I should be more accurate about that. But we're still not going back.
He was never a sandwich artist.
No,
people.
No,
he was never a sandwich artist.
How do you mess this up? I don't know. I did though. I don't know how I did that. It
takes real talent, man. Real talent.
You could probably find their training online, James. Do a self study. Teach yourself how to make Subway sandwiches.
And then throw it away.
Future career option. Yep.
We just don't have the time to get into these 20 names that may never be popular again. We are going to save this one for the next time the three of us get to hang out together. We will do that one coming up. That's just a future show, everybody.
Yep.
For now, we'll come back to wrap up the show on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Take it to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. One last topic to get into, but I do want to send a side note out to our, especially considering who we have in the studio with us today. It is in our National Day of Calendar. We went over on the Sunrise Show. Join us 7 to 8 on 105.5. It's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day, Seth.
Oh, yeah. That's a good pie.
I should definitely let you know that.
Delicious lemon meringue. Always good. Always tasty.
You can probably get that over at El Cafe. They have a great array of
pies. They seem to have been getting more pies too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's really cool though.
Check it out, everybody. Visit our friends at El Cafe, and a big shout out to them sponsoring the birthday and anniversary club. Our friends from the Southwick County Humane Society joining us. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. Those are some great good stories of the day for us. We'll have some more coming up. But Melissa, the bear I wanted to talk about. Remember the bear?
The bear?
A teacher at a California... Yeah, I brought this up the other day. I just mentioned a bear. I didn't give you any other details.
It's a bear.
A teacher at a California school was preparing for the upcoming start of the school year when her classroom was visited by an intellectually curious black bear. Elaine Salmon, a teacher at Peak to Peak Mountain Charter School in Pine Mountain Club, said she left her classroom to make some copies in the office and returned to find a black bear occupying the room.
Oh, my.
Salmon closed the bear inside the room, trapping her cell phone in the classroom with it.
Wait. What was her name?
Salmon.
Oh, no. Seriously?
Yeah.
Salmon?
Oh.
Yeah.
That is so... That's crazy.
That's funny.
Good thing, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that just struck me.
It needed to be done. I messed up the name. It's
Salmon.
Elaine Salmon is the teacher we're talking about. If you're wondering how the bear got lured into the classroom.
It was just her name. It's like, ooh, Salmon's in here. Nice.
Salmon's husband arrived and held the door open, allowing the bear to escape. The teacher said the only damage was to an earthquake kit. Which is okay. Weird.
That's a non sequitur there, bear. What are you doing?
School officials said that they are now planning to replace the door handles with more bear resistant opening mechanisms because the bear got in through the door.
Open the doorknob. See, you got to have the right doorknobs to keep those bears out.
Oh my goodness.
Nature.
So not only do we have to do all of these renovations to our schools, now we have to make them bear-proof.
Bear-proof. Yeah, we do.
Nature is adapting, everybody.
They sure are.
My question for the audience and all of you, what type of class would a bear teach?
Mm.
Now, I think the bear would, of course, teach the bear necessities.
How about foraging?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good one. Probably not personal hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing no on that one.
I'm guessing Winnie the Pooh is not going to teach a class on how to dress.
I mean, he
dresses half of himself. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yogi Bear would steal everyone's lunch money.
Hey, boo-boo. That looks pretty good over there.
Don't let the bear be the lunchroom monitor.
No.
The lunches are safe.
Yeah.
Of course, Fozzie Bear could teach you how not to do comedy.
That's right.
As I learned the hard way.
You thought he was your role model.
Yeah,
I really did.
He was my comedic idol, and I messed that one up. And of course, Smokey Bear is going to continue to teach us as he taught us as kids and continues to.
Yes. He's probably the smartest bear out there.
Yeah, definitely. I want to keep this as a running conversation. As you think of these things, please let us know.
Smarter than the average bear.
Yes. let us know what kind of class a bear would teach.
There you go.
Hear from me, everybody. As we wrap up the first, the final hour here, and everyone, I do one more time want to thank this community, all the people that came on down, businesses, nonprofits, of course, our listeners, and something I did not do in the beginning, but I'm saving it for now. I want to thank the WFHR and WIRI staff. I have the best team in radio, people, and they showed it yesterday. They show it every day on these stations. We are here for you. We are here to promote you and your business and your nonprofit. We are here to keep democracy alive. Mm-hmm. We are here to get you factual information and take good care of you so you are up to date and know everything you need to know coming up in November and going forward. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be prouder of this team. Nice work, everybody.
Yeah, and I have to give a special, special shout out to Pam and Laura because they really stuck it out in the warm weather out there.
They sure did.
And covered our table. So huge, huge thank you to Pam.
Yep.
Huge thank you to Laura. You guys, you're amazing, ladies. Thank you.
We're meeting totally later today, and we'll already be starting. We ain't going to be getting too in-depth, but we're already going to start planning next year. We're all going to start on that. We're going to get an early start.
And I suppose I should thank you guys, too. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, James. Thank you. I really do appreciate everything you guys did.
If there was time.
So
if there was time. To
yeah, right.
If there was time.
Well, I didn't want to, you know, I just, whatever. Yeah. I am grateful.
That's perfect.
She's a little flustered. That's good. I like that. Let's keep her flustered here.
Looking at some good stories of the day. Nicely done. The good stories of the day. One of them is, of course, Midday Magazine. It's back. Back today, everybody. From 4 to 5, join us as in part 1 at 4 o'clock today. We'll welcome in our good friend Jillian from Visit Rome. Looking forward to hanging out with them and talking about the Rome area. And in part 2, we'll talk to Kazao from the bilingual community health worker with our UW Extension.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Just a couple of days left, actually, two more days left for the free Meals for Kids lunches that are available. Mm-hmm. There's meals available today and tomorrow at Mead Park near the Splash Pad, 11:30 to 12:30, and Winter Park near their Aquatic Center, 11:30 to 12:30. And again, a big thank you to everybody that does this. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Great. All summer long.
It is the first and third Thursday of every month. Our great friends Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor performing at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center at 2651 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Join them from 2 to 4. Great time. And they got a great exhibit going on over there, too.
They
about
do.
Native American art and
yeah, it's
and
very
such.
Cool. Yeah.
It's a really cool one.
I need to get over there to see it.
As far as I know, I was trying to double check while we were off air here and everything. The farmer's market is still going today.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out, everybody. Our farmer's market going on every Thursday and Saturday, 8 to 2 at 221st Avenue South.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get notes earlier that the lunch by the river has been canceled for today.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Darn weather.
Keep that in mind, everybody. Also, keep in mind.
Food vendors might still be there.
Yep.
Yeah, food vendors might still be down there. Keep that in mind, everybody. And also, our good friends at the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater had the Merry Wives of Windsor going on today. Get your tickets and check out these shows. Support local. Mm-hmm. Do that at CWAC.org. CWAC.org. Seth, you guys got something fun going on this weekend.
Yes, because I can't do enough of stuff outside right now. Nothing but outside parties. No, at the Moravian Church on Saturday from 9 to 2, we're having a brat fry and rummage sale. The rummage sale will be taking place down on First Avenue. That's the front where the big cross tower thing is. So that's where the rummage sale is going to be. And then in the parking lot and back, we're going to be having the brat fry, which includes brats, hot dogs, hamburgers, nachos, baked goods, of course, and other things to drink. So it's more than just a brat fry. It's an everything fry, really. But we'll be holding it from 9 to 2 again on this Saturday. So come on out. Sounds like the weather is going to be pretty good on Saturday.
9 to 2. Can I get a brat for breakfast?
You can.
Nine?
Breakfast brat.
Breakfast brat sounds breakfast pretty darn good, actually.
Yes.
I kind of like that.
Right
that
before sounds... I head over to the Kellner Corn Fest to get corn for lunch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Your perfect weekend.
It's great.
A woman in Florida was helping clean up after Hurricane Debbie and found a message in a bottle from 1945. It's a note written to a friend, and and it's on an official U.S. Navy letterhead. Historians are trying to track more info.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of the armed forces, a retired Marine in Pennsylvania named Joseph DiMarco just turned 100 years old, and people in his town threw him a big surprise party with a police escort, special guests. The mayor of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania showed up for it, and so did U.S. Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick. Joseph enlisted in the Marines after the attack on Pearl Harbor and forged his parents' signature because he was only 17.
Yep.
Something my papa did. And
you hear a lot of stories about that.
Yeah. And a 12-year-old in Massachusetts named Danny Doherty set up a homemade ice cream stand outside his house to raise money for his brother's special needs hockey team. But it got shut down after someone in his neighborhood complained to the health department. You're not allowed to sell homemade ice cream in Massachusetts, and they snitched on him. He ended up getting around the red tape by offering ice cream for free and asking people to donate.
Perfect.
which netted him about $60, but he stands to make a lot more than that now because the owners of a restaurant called Longboards heard about this, and they're donating 25% of their proceeds from the signature desserts to help his cause.
Hey!
Oh, wow.
Good job stepping up.
They also put out a donation jar.
Nice!
This is a cool story for a lot of the way the public got backed him on this and supported him on this, but again, this is a 12-year-old doing this.
Yeah.
That is incredible work, young man. Nicely done.
Love our local businesses for stepping up and helping in whatever community they're in.
Yep.
Whether it's that kid or the kids that you heard on the radio here earlier this morning, I think we can all feel pretty darn good about the future going forward when it comes to these kids and these generations. Yeah. Feeling good about tomorrow. We'll wrap up the week. Great job this week, everybody. Appreciate you. Have yourselves a good day. Good work, you two.
You too, man.
Yeah, you too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.